You are listening to CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines.
Welcome to our first episode of Speak to It, a show run by peers living with mental illness and substance use in Niagara. We're here to create dialogue, celebrate journeys, and bridge communities. In upcoming episodes, we will be exploring stories of lived experience and amplifying work created by artists living with barriers. We will also be inviting in local change makers to speak to topics that matter to us.
Skeet skeet, I'm your girl from another world, Queens WON, and this is our pilot episode covering mental health and substance use in Niagara. Change is inevitable, and sometimes in life we need change makers. This uniquely awesome individual is that change maker.
Lee McLeod has faced adversity while going through their own mental health struggles to build an organization to support their peers living with mental health and substance use. So the question is, why Willow Arts?
Why Willow? So Willow Arts exists because the community needs something like Willow Arts. And I am somebody with lived experience, and I've lived in the Niagara region my whole life. And we just helped identify there was a gap in the current programming and a need for something like what we do that is free and supports a recovery and celebrates creative expression and celebrates people just belonging to a space and belonging to each other as part of a recovery. And I think I was crazy enough to think I could do it. Turns out I was crazy enough to do it. If I knew how hard it would be now, I don't know if I would do it again. But here we are. I did it. Yeah. And it matters to me as much as it matters to the people that we support. It matters to me as well.
What was the most difficult part of getting the program up and running?
It's not a sexy answer, but funding the Willow, making sure that we're paying people to educate. You know, sometimes when things are run by volunteers, people get exhausted and people get tired. I always wanted to have it so that we were funding our instructors and funding people in place to keep Willow Arts going. So I would say, like all charities and nonprofits, the hardest part is funding. In the beginning, the hardest part was, I think, convincing people that like we could do it. You know, when Willow Arts started, I had half a shaved head and I was still taking outpatient mental health programming at the hospital. I was working at Out of the Past selling bongs and concert t-shirts. And here I was looking young and full of spunk. You know, I mean, I remember telling my best friends that I had this plan and this dream and this drive, and they kind of just went like, oh yeah, that's nice, thinking like everyone has these pipe dreams. But I believed in the work and I believed that the community needed something like this. And I wasn't prepared to quit.
How was it at first getting it off the ground?
Well, I got it off the ground rather ugly. It wasn't smooth. It was hard. Like anything, you know, we've had false starts and missteps, and you don't know how to make something good until you kind of fail a little bit. But the one thing we knew from the first thing we ever did was that people wanted to participate. The first event we ever did, there was 25 people that came out, and we just put the word out very renegade, kind of advertising in the psych wards and, you know, institutions that we were doing something, and it just kind of grew from there. So it wasn't a smooth start, and I think it would be false of me to pretend that it was just so smooth. It wasn't.
That took bravery. Where did you get your bravery?
That's a nice question. Where do I get my bravery? I come from a martial arts background, and you know, we kind of had this mentality of training. You know, we practiced in a dojo and we had a sensei walk me up to the trophy table and say, okay, pick out your trophy. What do you want to win today? And kind of like visioning it into being. And I saw it so clearly. I saw what Willow Arts could be. And I don't know if some of that bravery just comes from just an ethic of work. It was a lot of dedication. I've been doing that, you know, the spark of Willow Arts kind of kicked off in 2015. And from the moment I kind of said it out loud, I haven't stopped. So I don't know if I'm brave. I think if I'm brave, it's because I'm still fighting for the people that we've lost and fighting for the people that we serve and fighting for myself.
Where do you see Willow in 5 years?
In 5 years, Willow Arts needs to be sustainably funded. The only way for organizations like this to work is to have constant, sustainable income so that we can build. And we work with vulnerable people, and we are vulnerable people, our instructors, myself, the people that we serve. Having access to ongoing funding so that we can build a community and build a programming that we can keep showing up season after season with good ideas that aren't just hustling for the next project fund. In 5 years, I see us being financially secured because we have to be. It's a good idea that needs constant good funding.
For Willow and the participants, what do they need and want?
Willow Arts participants need access to a lot more things than what Willow Arts can provide. You know, we provide a safe space. We provide opportunities to build art skills, to build relationships, to have access to networks and opportunities in the arts community and beyond. But I think Willow Arts members need access to better ODSP payments, and they need access to good healthcare, and they need access to housing that's affordable, and they need access to opportunities that historically have not been offered to folks with lived experience due to poverty, due to various intersections of identities. And so we don't pretend like we're solving all the challenges that folks with lived experience experience. But what we do provide is measurably good.
Willow is a support for so many people. How about you? How do you get support?
I'm very lucky to have built what I guess I could call like my chosen family. So I'm a queer person, and oftentimes queer people, for whatever reasons, end up building their own family network for support and for love. And I'm very fortunate to have quite a personal family outside of the work I do, outside of the arts community, that is just for me. And that is a place that I like to crawl toward and be surrounded by, is just this abundance of love and joy and acceptance in queer and trans spaces. The only reason I've been able to do this is because I have a really awesome son, which some could say would be harder to do this being a young teen parent and doing all this while raising a child. But because he's so awesome and he supports me fully, I feel like I am able to do this.
Before we go, is there anything you'd like to let our listeners know about?
You know, we want change and we want to do things differently. And I think folks should support people who are trying to do things differently. If you're coming to a Willow Art show, or you're buying a publication, or you're going to an exhibition and you expect it to look like every other art show you've ever been to, you might be disappointed, because we do things differently. We are different, and I think the community needs something different, which is why Willow Arts exists. So I say, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, follow us on our website, and come out and support what we're up to. Matters like inclusion and, you know, social isolation and equity and diversity and inclusion, these are big topics and big conversations, and here we are doing that. It only works when there's folks who want to join the conversation with us.
How do you go about joining Willow?
Yeah, joining's pretty simple. I always recommend starting with checking out our website. There's lots of information on there just to see that it's a suitable experience. You know, we don't provide therapy. We don't do case management. We're not social workers. We're artists and folks living with mental illness, supporting one another and providing services for one another. So step one would be, see what we're up to. And if that looks like something you want to join and be a part of, give me an email. Send me an email. It's pretty simple application process. But I would say, make sure it's suitable for you. We are proudly located downtown St. Catharines within Silver Spire Church. We have our own office and studio space, separate from the church, but we're proud to be part of the work that the church does for harm reduction and folks living close to the street. So we are downtown St. Catharines at 366 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines.
Thank you so much, Lee McLeod, founder and director of Willow Arts St. Catharines.
What does Willow Arts mean to you, Allison?
Willow Arts for me is mostly about confidence and opportunity. I'm a person who never, ever had any confidence in myself. And, you know, people could tell me that I have skills or that I have talent, and I never would really believe them. But being amongst like-minded peers and even people who work in different mediums than I, like, I've been able to learn more about myself, to grow as a person, but also within my own chosen talents and my own chosen fields. So I'm primarily a writer by choice and by birth, I would even argue. And being in this community has allowed me to grow to a point where I felt comfortable taking the next step, and mostly in my career. Because of Willow, I've published 2 books of poetry. I've had the confidence to teach as well, and I've taken those next steps because of the support and the community that I've experienced here.
Lori, what does the Willow Arts mean to you?
I count on it. So that means a lot. I look forward to it. I look forward to the program content. I look forward to the people, the atmosphere, the encouragement, all of the above. It's a fantastic place, and we need it.
What kind of things have you done since joining the Willow Arts community?
Willow has pushed me out of my teeny tiny box. So let's see. Oh, I've been on stage doing improv. I just last night was on the big stage performing a song that I wrote a tiny little bit. So Willow is like the Willow branch. It's got me going this way and that way. So it's fantastic. And I can see it in myself. I can see it in other people, what they do. It's incredible. So hats off to everybody.
Hey, Queens, what does the Willow Arts mean to you?
The Willow Arts is a community. It's my sanctuary. It's where I belong. It's given me the opportunity to learn who I am and the kind of person that I want to be and that I have a lot to offer. I am very comfortable interacting with anybody here because I look and I see myself in everybody, and I see everybody in myself. I feel very proud when I look at other Willow members and see them lighting up over a song, over a picture, over what somebody might have said. Willow Arts it's my sanctuary. It's also my therapy. Without them, I probably would have been a problem for society. I look forward to coming here every week, sometimes two times a week. Willow's my home. It's been a home for me because I am here on my own. I definitely have family here and friends that I will keep relationships with the rest of my life.
Patty, what does Willow Arts mean to you?
A place to come. I'm finding my voice through words, through my poetry, through other people listening, being creative, unexpected being creative. I mean, I didn't know I had this inside me. I feel like I'm like a caterpillar and I'm turning into a butterfly and I'm finding my wings. And sometimes I flutter around, sometimes I land splat on the ground, but I keep on kicking. But it's the people, it's the brightness, it's being allowed to be myself. And hopefully my words have inspired people. I know they have because I've shared them with family members, to friends, and they go, oh, I want that. Like my poetry, I want that copy of that. And I can see the sparkleness in their eyes, like when they see me like changing for the better. I'm still changing. Every day is like a new recipe. And you put all this ingredients in this bowl, and it changes every day. Your mood may change, it may be up and down, but you keep on going. But every day is different, and that's okay. And you learn to go with those changes and the ups and downs and the flow.
Patty has been a Willow member since 2019. She is a budding literary artist and has performed at a local festival last summer. I have watched her grow and am proud to introduce her original piece called Recipe for a Brand New Life.
Recipe for a brand new life. Waking up to you in my sunshine puts a smile on my face. Smelling the coffee brewing, thinking of my favorite recipe. Pouring the ingredients into the center of my heart. One cup of letting go of the fear that no longer serves me. Half a cup of focus on the here and now. Embrace half a cup of fear. Pouring in one cup of love and joy. Scraping and smoothing away the scars. Don't forget to stir occasionally. Throw in challenges on making new friendships. Add a pinch of tears. One cup of personal growth. Finding happiness in the unexpected. Sprinkle in laughter and bubbling over. Squeezing in one cup of self-worth and respect. Blending these ingredients together, I rise to the top. Bear hugs, Patty.
We're going to end the segment with a song I wrote for myself and my daughter, as we both go through life with the same struggles. This song is called Daymares.
Thank you. tremors at night, I can't sleep. I start thinking about my child, it hurts me deep. My head is sore, my body's weak. Wishing I can save her, but it's not my feet. My head is pounding out of my chest. I think about my faults, I did my best. If I could do it over, I would hurt you less. I close my eyes and I still can't rest. I'm so damn tired of fighting these sheets. I wanna take away your pain and press delete. What I wouldn't give for a good night's sleep. Only clarity I have is when I ride the beat. Daily, they keep you awake. I've been there before, so I know what it takes. When your mind is racing and your body shakes, your chest is pounding, I know your heartache. Daily. Like the night when the demons inside always ready to fight. Walking the floors looking for the light. Looking out the window when it's still not right. Closed up feelings to avoid detection. Blank stares, all the unanswered questions. Beautiful still, do you see the reflection? We're gonna get through, now you got my attention. Tell me what you need to make the pain go away. Tell me what you're needing for a brighter day. I'm sorry my confusion overtook your brain. Dysfunction chasing, calling you by my name.
If your child is struggling with a mental health issue,
or may be in crisis,
there is a place to turn. Pathstone Mental Health is located at 1338 4th Avenue in St. Catharines. They have been providing world-class mental health services for children for over 50 years. To learn more about their services, visit pathstonementalhealth.ca.
My name is Allison, and I'm the co-host for today's episode of Speak to It, where we'll be covering the topic of mental health support, or lack thereof, in the Niagara region. In this next segment, we'll be hearing from Bev and Danny, local humans with lived experience.
My name is Bev, and today we're talking about mental health. There is a rise in mental health cases all over the country. Right now, 1 in 5 people have a mental illness. 12 people a day commit suicide. And it's hard to think of that when you're talking about it in terms of numbers, because that's like 7 million, over 7 million people in Canada have a mental health issue. But if you get it down to the region, there were over 24,000 visits to the St. Catharines Hospital in 2022 for mental health reasons. That's a huge number. We see mental health affecting people's ability to live. We see a rise in addictions and all of that. There's a rise in homelessness. All of these things have something to do with mental health. From my own experience, I worked in the field providing counseling for people for some years. And over the last 10 years that I worked, I saw not only the numbers of people coming in with complicated problems, but they became so complex that it was really hard to get people what they needed in the community. We don't have enough mental health services in the Niagara region to cover the people that are in need. Even for myself, for my particular diagnosis, I was unable to find anyone in the region who would treat my mental health issue. And so that meant that I would have to go to Toronto to do that. It seems to me that we should have enough services in our backyard to handle the load without extreme waiting lists, because people are in crisis. I think especially since COVID, things have gone up a huge amount as well, because we weren't used to being isolated from one another. And the impact of that has increased mental health issues significantly. For me, I know I tried many of the agencies in the area that provide these services, and I did have to wait. I finally found an agency that was willing to work with me, but not on what my diagnosis was, just on some of the traumas that I had faced. So it wasn't adequate mental health treatment, but it was something. We shouldn't have to settle for something. We should be able to get mental health treatment just like we get physical health treatment. We're all one body and it all works together. The impact of trauma, for example, on the body is huge. When people don't treat their traumas, it comes out later on in the form of sickness. And so providing mental health treatment to people would also impact the medical field in reduced costs just by meeting people's needs and getting people what they have to survive. It just makes sense to me to do that. And there is also the stigma attached to mental health issues. I know when I go to the doctor, I called an ambulance once because I was having chest pains. And the first thing they said to me was it was an anxiety attack. And they sent me home. And I went back to the emergency room 3 weeks later with the same symptoms. They told me again it was an anxiety attack. They sent me home. I did this two more times with the same results. At the time, I happened to be going to school in Buffalo and I had student health insurance. So I ran across the river to a hospital, and they admitted me right away because my artery was 85% blocked, and my body was being set up for a massive heart attack. When I came back, I told my doctor about this and explained that the mental health piece shouldn't come into everything before the diagnosis of physical. It has to be the other way around. Rule out the physical and then come in with the mental health if that's appropriate. So I feel there are barriers in getting medical care based on the stigma of having a mental health diagnosis. Also in the workplace and actually in the general community, if you think about some of the downtown neighborhoods in our cities where there's a lot of homeless people and people who use substances, we see the impact of the mental health crisis right in front of our eyes. But rather than dealing with that, we cross the street and avoid these people. We turn our head. We don't look at these people. And we continue to ignore the fact that these are human beings just like we are. They just need some help. And so I would like to say today that we need to up our game where mental health concerns are related. We need to provide more services so that people can get the help they need, because the problem is just going to get worse. And we need to be kinder to one another and maybe not pass that guy on the street. Maybe say hello, because just a hello can change someone's day. A smile can change someone's day. If you are needing mental health services in the Niagara region, you can get on the Access Niagara line, and they will connect you with a mental health professional very quickly. Thank you.
Everyone deserves to feel well. The Canadian Mental Health Association of Niagara offers a variety of programs and services that assist individuals 16 and older with reaching their short and long-term mental health goals. CMHA is located at 264 Welland Avenue in St. Catharines. To book an appointment, call 905-641-5222 Monday to Friday between 8:30 and 5:30, or for more information, visit their website at niagara.cmha.ca.
Hi, I'm Bev, and I am talking to Danny. Today we're talking about mental health and being able to get assistance in the Niagara region. So, Danny, can you tell me about your struggles with getting mental health care since you've been here?
Sure. I moved to Niagara Falls in 2006. I have been trying to get support since that time. There's great crisis services and like immediate and stuff, but there isn't a lot of long-term mental health support. So like I'm still on the wait list for CMH, like the Canada Mental Health wait list for therapy. And there's nothing that's like actually covered for long-term. So it's always, they'll do 10 sessions and that's great. But for anyone that actually needs like long-term ongoing support, there's nothing out there at all. And like if it's private, then there's the financial barrier, which a lot of people, me personally, have experienced, that makes it difficult. I'm on ODSP, so I have a fixed income. It covers my necessities barely. It is not mental health support, so counseling, even though psychiatrist, psychologist, and doctor have all put in my ODSP paperwork that I require mental health support of in the form of therapy, and ODSP doesn't cover it. It's not part of their quote-unquote necessary medical assistance. Like the best therapy prices that you can get is like maybe $150 an hour at the lowest, but that's impossible. Like I can't afford that. I have a therapist who is great, and has done a reduced rate for me, but it's an amount that I can only literally afford once a month. So we don't really get to do a lot of actually constructive therapy work, because once a month is insufficient for that kind of stuff.
How are you handling your mental health?
It's a DIY situation. I'm just doing it myself. For the most part, I find it's online. There's a lot of great supports online. I haven't really had any support. So other than like my family is very supportive, but that's it. Coming to the Willow has been a form of my therapy, because that's art helps. But otherwise, I am just trying to trek along on my own and figure it out and, you know, not die. In 2014, I decided that I was going to give it a year, and then I was going to, if in that year things didn't change, I was going to kill myself. And I sent out emails to, it was definitely over 20 different psychologists across Canada for help. And in the email, I stated that I am suicidal, I need support now. Only 3 of them responded to my email, so that seems weird. But out of the 3, only 1 was able to help me, willing to work with me on a sliding scale. But she's in Toronto, and I am neurodivergent and have sensory issues, and like trekking to from Niagara Falls. I don't have a car, so it was became inaccessible for me to see her, and she wouldn't do anything on Zoom. I don't know if Zoom existed at that time, but I've been at places where I've been suicidal. I've been hospitalized here in Niagara Falls Hospital for mental health reasons, and yeah, it can get really bad.
So what do we need to do to fix some of this?
Fund it. We need to fund all the mental health supports. The psychologists need to be covered by OHIP, just straight up like that. It's ridiculous that people consider the brain not part of the body when that's where the illness is. That's what needs to be treated. So it needs to be treated through OHIP. It needs to be covered. We need to be creating more spaces for mental health supports, long-term mental health supports, not like institutions, but like clinics that can see people and take people on. There needs to be more of those, because even the ones that are here, they're overworked. We need more people to do it, and we need more funding for it and more transportation access. Like, our transit system is terrible, so things need to be accessible as well as existing.
So do you think there's any hope for things as things stand now?
Not with Ford in office, no. But yes, I think there's hope. I think there's always hope. That hope never dies. Hope only dies when you give up. And there is hope, but we need to change the stigmatization of mental illness. We need to improve how we see it and stop seeing it as some kind of moral failing of some sort. We need to remove that morality aspect from it, because it has nothing to do with that. And we need people in office that care and actually give up leave.
And you mentioned the stigmatization of mental health. How has that impacted you?
I mean, it's prevented me from seeking out medical care for other things, because any symptom I have when I present to a doctor is, well, that's your anxiety, that's your depression, that's whatever, whatever. It's always attributed to my mental health. It's never investigated as a physical thing. So there's that stigma. There's stigma in workplace I've had where, you can't disclose any of your mental health issues because there's the risk of being fired just fired. And then there's the risk of other, they'll say that they accommodate, but then they don't. They don't make those accommodations. And so, yeah, I can't be employed because of the stigma around mental health and disability issues. And then just even with like friends and people you meet and stuff like that, you're always hesitant with revealing any of that kind of information because you don't really know other people's experiences or thoughts about it. And you can go from having a friend to not having friends and not having employment and everything. There's been so many barriers to get support. Like, just when I was assaulted in 2012, and the crisis support services was literally like, I think it was 5 or 6 sessions, but not to harp on anyone negatively of like people doing the work, but there's not a lot of training for people, for like the professionals doing the support. They don't have a whole lot of trauma-informed training. They don't have training to work with neurodivergent people. They don't have the skills to actually work with people that don't fit the stereotypical mold of textbook trauma symptoms and stuff like that. There's a lot of barriers that way too.
So what would you like to see for yourself at this point?
I would love to have the opportunity to see a therapist regularly that I could afford and that was skilled in my various issues. I would love to see mental health services being accessible, like, and doctors being accessible through email. Like there's some clinics that have the opportunity for communicating through emails or alternative communications, and that would be great to see that become totally normalized. And I would love to see, I don't know, more programmings like the Willow, I guess, because there's therapy's great, but that doesn't create community for you. That doesn't create spaces for you to connect with people. So I would really like to see more things like the Willow growing, or other spaces for other people to be able to get together and connect with each other in a safe space.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks for tuning in to our inaugural episode of Speak to It, a show created by folks with lived experience of mental health issues and or substance use. We'd like to gratefully acknowledge the folks who contributed to this week's episode. Bev, Rita, Allison, Tracy, Trisha, Queens, Lori, Wendy, and Patty. Thanks for listening.
This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada in cooperation with CFBU 103.7 FM.